Lord, I don't know all of our hearts this morning, but as we've sung to you, I pray that you would open all of our hearts to be attentive to you, to be open to your guiding and your directing. Pray now for wisdom as we talk in your word. Give us a time of encouragement and a time of recommitment to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. How many of you occasionally watch a television show called Jeopardy? Okay, a few more in this service than in the other service. I sang the theme song, but I sang it so poorly they couldn't even recognize it. So I decided not to do that this hour. Instead, I'm going to have Tom do it. No, I'm kidding, Tom. What we're doing this morning is we're going to play Financial Jeopardy. The category is money. I'm going to give you the answers. You're going to give me the questions. All right? Are you ready? And sometimes I didn't phrase these exactly right, so be gentle on me, okay? The first hour jumped on me a little bit. All right, 1.3 million Americans did this. Question? Okay, good. How many Americans filed for bankruptcy last year? 1.3 million Americans. Financial Jeopardy. $4,000. The answer, $4,000. What's the question? Very good. What is the amount the average household has in credit card debt? $4,000. That's the average. So what does that mean? There's a whole lot more with a whole lot more, and there are other households with less. That is the average, $4,000. Financial pressures cause this. That's it. She's right. I hate to... Oh, goodness. What is a major cause of divorce? Money. Financial pressures cause this. In fact, I read, some of the information just yesterday, it was in the 80% range. Finances are incredibly important to us. Answer, love of money. What's the question? Very good. What is the root of all evil? Not money, right? Money's not, but the love of money, the root of all evil. Answer? Our source of happiness. Question? Who is God? All right, that's not a tricky one. I just thought I would throw that one in for variety, okay? And finally, longer than you're going to live. Longer than you're going to live. How long will it take to pay off your credit card with the minimum payment? Longer than you're going to live. All right, folks. Well, my Jeopardy is not quite as good as the real Jeopardy, but the reality is finances are an incredible part of our lives, and they affect so many areas and relationships. We're going to talk about this subject of money over the next couple of weeks. You see, many Americans are playing financial jeopardy. They're living their lifestyle in a way that they are in financial jeopardy and are in trouble. God has incredible things to say about our money and how to live and use the resources that He's given to us. You know, in America, we have an incredible consumptive lifestyle. Do you know that we contain 5% of the world's population, give or take a little bit, and we use up approximately 60% of the world's resources? Let me say that again. 5% of the population, 60% of the resources. We consume an incredible amount as Americans. We're trying to find the answer to happiness and hope and peace. And one of the ways we as a country are trying to do that has to do with money, spending money, acquiring things. Our motto should be life, liberty, and the purchase of happiness. That's what we're trying to do. There's a number of different shoppers. There are different types of people who shop. Let me read a couple of these and see if maybe you identify. Maybe you don't, but maybe you do. Do we have any impulsive buyers in here? None willing to raise their hand. All right, some did. I'm not asking you to raise your hand, okay? It's between you and your spouse or you and the Lord. An impulsive buyer. In fact, gentlemen, we as men tend to be worse at this than the ladies do. We have more of a tendency to do this. Our motto is, if you're an impulsive shopper, I came, I saw, I bought. You know, when we talk about impulsive buying, it has been said, I have some material for this, that 30 to 50% of the people that go to look to buy a car had no plan or no thought about this. They just walked into the dealership and they know that 30 to 50% of the people that come in will buy something impulsively. Now maybe they do actually have a need for a vehicle, but maybe they haven't planned or thought about it. 30 to 50%. No wonder we spend millions of dollars on advertising. They know what they're doing. They do. I get so tired, don't you, in the paper? When you open the paper, you know, you got 4 or 5 sections and 3 of them are advertisements, aren't they? Millions of dollars. How much is a Super Bowl 30-second spot going for this year? Yeah, it's I remember when it used to be $250,000, and I said, whoa, that's incredible. But I've heard that some of them are for $1 million plus. $1 million. They're targeting me, they're targeting you. Impulsive buying. How about compulsive buyers? We've got impulsive, then maybe we have compulsive buyers. These are those who have some kind of unmet need in their life. There's just an emptiness. There's dryness of soul and heart. So they just go and shop. There are people that do it. There are a lot of people that do that. They can't resist the sale. How many of you can't resist a sale? Don't raise your hand. How many of you, man, you see that and say, man, I've got to go for that. Can't resist a sale. How about boredom shoppers? There's nothing else to do. Let's just gather everybody up and head on down to the store. You're bored, so you buy. We call these people mall mice. Mall mice. They just like to go to the mall and shop and buy things, okay? Just. This series is entitled Gaining Financial Freedom. For the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about this. Today, we're talking about avoiding financial jeopardy. What steps can we take to doing that? If you'll take out your outline, let's look at 5 suggestions here of what we can do to avoid financial jeopardy in our lives. Number 1, live within your means. Live within your means. All right, I say that and everybody says, oh yeah, that's a good idea, good suggestion, okay. Well, let me tell you what's working against us. If we can bring up Luke chapter 12, verse 15, Jesus is speaking, and he helps us quite a bit to understand when we talk about living within what we have, what are some of the things we have to guard against? Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Say that word with me, greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. See, our problem is, one of the problems that keeps us from living within our income is greed. The desire to acquire more, to have more. It's interesting what Jesus said 2,000 years ago about this. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Well, what is the world doing? It's spending millions and millions of dollars saying you've got to have this and that and this and that and you'll be happy. Jesus said, no, no, no. A man's life is not going to be made happy with all these toys that we accumulate, that we have in life. Jesus is saying the exact opposite thing. Let me talk about it. What are some of the real values of life? What are some things that money can't buy? Happiness, love, health, family. See, there's many things that money can buy, but some of these key values, these key issues, money cannot buy them. And yet, we still try and find our satisfaction, our meaning in life, in things. It isn't going to happen. This is a universal principle that Jesus has given. How often do you see this maybe in your kids or your grandkids? It's really interesting. They so much want something, to get a Super X, whiz-bangy, whatever. You know what I mean. And they get it, and then a half a day later, they're not playing with it, right? It's not going to satisfy them. When are we as adults going to learn the same lesson that our kids are learning? Live within your income. We're going to talk a little bit more about this over the next 2 weeks. What I mean by that is you get a paycheck. You need to live within that paycheck. That's what it means. Live within your income. The problem is most of us have an income and we are barraged by these people called credit card companies. And so you've got also the opportunity for additional purchasing power outside of your income with credit cards and other things. We're going to talk more about those. Do I think it's wrong to have a credit card? No, I have some. I think people misuse them, and that's where it becomes wrong. Credit card companies don't like people that pay them off every month at the end of the month. They call those people deadbeats. I'm a deadbeat. It's all right, I'll live with that title. But that's what they're doing. We'll talk a little more about that in coming weeks. You've got to live within your income. It's as simple as that. In order to avoid financial jeopardy. All right. Number two, you're going to live within your income. Second, distinguish between need and wants. Need and want. And again, we have some very interesting statements made in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. And let's bring that up, okay? Philippians 4:11 says, and Paul is speaking, he is writing to the Philippians, thanking them for the gift they sent to him. He's saying in verse 11, I am not saying this because I am in need. Read this with me together. For I have learned to be whatever the circumstances. What did Paul learn to be? Content. We have to unlearn everything our culture is teaching us. Our culture is teaching us exactly the opposite of this. If you don't have things, you cannot possibly be content. You've got to have more and more things. No, that is not true. Paul said, I have learned. So what we have is the world barraging us with millions of dollars of advertising. Many of those things do you really need? I don't think we do. Over here, the Bible says, Paul says, I have learned to be content. It is a discipline. It is a practice. It ain't easy with everything we're being hit with today. How do you learn to be content? That's a good question, isn't it? May I suggest one way? And if you have some others afterwards, come and talk to me. I'd love to expand this information if you've got some other thoughts. First of all, I would just say, right down to the side, you have to evaluate. Distinguish between a need and a want. When you go to purchase something, evaluate it. Am I just getting this thing to get this thing? Or is this actually something that I really need? That I really have to have? Or is this just bonus? When the Bible talks about need, the Bible talks about what? Food, clothing, shelter. Those are the things we see in Matthew in the New Testament. Now, if you have those things, and we do, we are blessed. We really are as a country. Many of us have much more than that, but that is basic need. Now, is it wrong to have other things? No, it is not wrong to have them. But when our goal is focused on always acquiring and getting those things, then we have a problem. It's okay to have things. In fact, we're going to get to a verse here in a couple minutes that talks about being wealthy and enjoying your wealth from the Lord. Distinguish between need and want. Who's the happier man? The man with six kids or $6 million? Who's happier, the man with six kids or $6 million? I have a lot of disagreement in here. Let me tell you why. The man with six kids is happier because he doesn't want any more. The man with $6 million, what does he want? More. What did Howard Hughes say when they asked him how much money will make you happy? $1 more. All right. Oh, goodness. Distinguish between need and wants. Evaluate. In that process, learn to be content. And I wish I could say a lot more about this, but there's not a lot said. But we just need to evaluate our choices and distinguish between what is really necessary and what is not. Do that together as a couple, as a single. Someone you know? Neat process. Number three, plan your spending. Plan your spending. Plan your spending. All right, and let's bring up 1 Timothy 6:9. Now, with people who just kind of say, all right, I'm just going to spend, and it's amazing how many Americans do that. Let's see what the Bible has to say, at least in one part. There's a couple of verses I'm going to share with you. 1 Timothy 6:9 says, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and to destruction. A pretty strong verse here. All right, so how do you plan your spending? If you just don't want to fall into these traps and temptation and things like that, how do you do that? Well, you do that by establishing what we call a budget. The B word, budget. You see, the reality is, and you're not going to like me saying this, but the reality is, the issue is not more money for many of us. The issue is better money management. The issue is not more money, it's better money management. Now, that's not true in every case, but in many. And you get more money, and you still manage it poorly. That's what Americans are dealing with. The problem, one of the key problems here, is our yearning exceeds our earning. We just want more. That goes back to what we were talking about just a minute ago. Your yearning exceeds your earning. Boy, I have those temptations too. Proverbs 21:5 says this, talking about, maybe not specifically here a budget, but the idea of planning our spending. The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. In this, I think a key idea when we're talking about the plans of the diligent, when we're talking about finances, can refer to a budget. We need to nip this problem in the budget. Nip it in the budget. I have an example in the back. When you walk out, there's a number of cards on one side of the counter. There's a sign up for Awana. Then there's an example budget. When I do premarital counseling with couples, I walk through many times a form of a budget. And there's one back there. And if you'd just like to look at it, maybe you could look at it and evaluate. Maybe you could look at it and say, Dave, there's some things you need to add to this. I'd be more than happy to listen to you and get more input. But the first thing is we have to establish a budget. Now, let me tell you this. Let me ask you this. You expect a church to have a budget, don't you? A church has to have a budget. An organization has to have a budget, doesn't it? That you work for? Sure it does. The government has a budget. Now, wait a minute. Okay. All right, you're right. There may be an exception there, okay? But when I say to you, get a budget, you say, oh man, I don't have time for that, or I don't need to do that. Now, wait a minute. If everybody else does, why can't you? Why can't I? We need to have a budget. Proverbs 21:20. Just want to write down these references. In the house of the wise, our store, look at that, the word wise, our stores of choice food and oil. But the foolish man devours all he has. Another thought, just along the idea of establishing and planning, maybe using a budget. The Good News translation of this verse says this: stupid people spend their money as fast as they get it. That's pretty abrupt, isn't it? Stupid people spend their money as fast as they get it. One of the reasons that I'm committed to having some kind of a class in the local church that deals with finances is for this reason. When you hear some of the statistics that I shared just beginning my time with you a few minutes ago, we've got to have these kind of classes. The one I'm talking about, Mike Hornkel's going to be teaching with his wife Edna. And they're going to start in a couple of weeks. And next week I'm going to interview Mike and just talk about the class. I've been through this material. This is Crown Ministries. They have merged with a guy by the name of Larry Burkett. And they have a very strong organization now. And it's a 12-week class. And you go through and there's a commitment you have to make. You have to buy some of the materials, the greatest investment you'll make, one of the greatest. And then you have to learn some verses about focusing in on who owns all our wealth and other verses as you go through the program. It was an excellent program. I went through it a couple years ago. Great help. Great help. These are the kinds of things we have to have in the church, because if we're not going to deal with it, who is dealing with it? And look at the mess society is in at this point. So Mike's going to be kicking that class off, and he and Edna are going to teach it, and then they'll take maybe the summer off and teach it again in the fall. We're just going to rotate it. Doesn't matter what age you are, you can learn something from this class. It's a great thing. Number four, avoiding financial jeopardy, enjoy what you have. Enjoy it. If God has blessed you, enjoy it. I used to think that because some people maybe had more, that somehow they were not honoring to God. That is such wrong thinking. God blesses people and gives them wealth and possession. Look at Ecclesiastes 5:19 with me. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift of God. A gift that God has given to us. Enjoy your wealth. God blesses you. Amen. Enjoy it. Whatever you have. Never forget the source of your wealth, though. Never forget the source. God has given you life. God has given you talents and abilities. And you've taken those. Never forget the source of your wealth if you are blessed in that way. You know, just a little statement. I've used this before, but I think it's a good one. When we talk about enjoying what we have, instead of always going and getting the next item, the next thing, let me give you something to think about. Here's a little phrase. It goes like this: use it up, wear it out, make it do, or do without. There are times you can do without things. There are times I can do without things. Let me say it again. Use it up, wear it out, make it do, or do without. Just a little pithy saying. I don't think that's in the scriptures. I know it's not, but there are many people that use this. I think it's a great little statement. How about Hebrews 13:5? Write this reference down, please. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your lives free from the love of... Thank you. And be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Stop, keep trying to get more and more. Enjoy what we have. I love the last part of that verse. God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Neat verse. Number five, be generous with time and money. Be generous with your time and money. Luke 6:38 says this, give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I've always looked at that verse and said, that's an interesting way to say it. Let me restate it. Give and it will be given to you, and God will bless you. You can say it that way too. God will take care of blessing you. He owns it all anyway. He does give it to us to use and to live on, but He owns it. Give of your time and money. Give of your resources. And especially to God's service. I can't say that without in the context of the local church. Time, money, energy, and effort to God's work. Let Him bless you. He'll do a much better job. I just heard a great story before the service of a man telling me of someone choosing not to pay him, stiffing him, if you will, going to the next customer, doing the right thing, and God blessing and taking care of all that. Now, it doesn't happen every time, but it does. And I've heard story after story like that. God's blessing. Tell you this. Don't clog the flow from God. You see, there's a line that comes from God, and He wants to bless us. But our tendencies are to be so stingy and tightwad and keep it all ourselves. No. Give to God, to His work and to His service. Don't block the flow from God. He'll honor you. Awana's coming up. In, 3 or 4 weeks now, with a Grand Prix. This year, I'm not going to build a car. Praise God. Actually, I've really enjoyed that, but I'm going to be a sponsor. Back on the back sheet there, those of you that maybe don't have children or grandchildren here, why don't you be a sponsor? This is just a small thing. You give, there's a couple of different plans there you can see on that yellow sheet, and just give. And just enjoy that Sunday evening with us together. Come on down here and enjoy that and watch the kids get excited. Watch the adults get excited. And just be a part of the blessing of just giving to that whole project. And whatever is used in that project will be used. And then whatever is not will go right back to Awana Ministries. A worthwhile investment that you can make. And there's some information in the back about that. We encourage you to do that. Focus on others. Be generous with your time and your money. God said, I'll take care of blessing you. In this series, we're going to move from survival to success to investing in God's work. Next week, I went blank. What is next week? Next week is let's make a deal. One place in the scripture, God says, test me. One place only. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about... In the area of our finances, trusting God and looking to Him. Then the final week, the third week, we're going to play Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? I'm going to wear a cell phone that morning. In children's church, I'm going to be one lifeline. You guys are going to be a second lifeline as they play Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. They're going to use some Bible questions. I'm going to prepare them, so I'm not embarrassed if I miss a question in front of you all. We're going to do that. And Ruth will have a cell phone, and she may call us as a lifeline. During the service, absolutely. And we're going to talk about what God says about wealth and investing and those kinds of things. That's what this series is all about. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to trust you in many areas, especially in this area. Give us the right kind of hearts before you as we talk about our finances and our commitment to you in these areas. In Jesus' name, amen.